It's June 23rd, Tony McCurry. Been a beautiful day here. It's a political season, and I was getting signatures to have our area zoned. And we've had a lot of overgrowth with Dollar General stores popping up left and right. So I seen the opportunity to get our area zoned, so I got the signatures of my precinct while at the voting area, and I ran across a lot of people. I was able to witness to some, and I noticed that there's a lot of people that I've known my entire life that are a year, maybe 2 years older than me, but man, they've had a rough life. And I put them in my prayers, people I run into at the barbershop. But, we run into people constantly that need our prayers. And we just ask that you guys remember them also. But tonight's study is titled, it's normally my Fruit of the Light or Fruit of the Spiritual Light studies. I didn't write the number down, but I think it's like number 48. That'll be corrected when we post it. But tonight's study is kind of like dovetail or understanding. When we have our conferences, it's amazing how it's always said that all the study will dovetail together. And when you look at God's Word and the Holy Spirit working among the speakers, when it can't help but dovetail, it shouldn't catch any of us by surprise that it does work as well as it does. But in woodworking, dovetail refers to an interlocking joint made by cutting wedge-shaped pieces called tails on one board and matching pins on another. When assembled, the tails fit into the pins, creating a strong, secure connection that resists pulling apart. We often refer to a teacher's studies as dovetailing one with another. God's Word continuously dovetails when put together, making a solid message. And whenever you rightly divide, that just, you can say, adds glue to the wood to make the subject unbreakable. So just a little segue into the dovetailing of how the messages of the speakers at the conference just blended together harmoniously. In my studies of late, I've always started out with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths." And that, as I've stated before, that in itself is faith. Pure and true faith is trusting in the Lord. And when we look at the Hebrew word form is Yada, which I think Darren spoke of, it's a primitive root to ascertain by seeing, used a great variety of senses, and it's acknowledge, advise, answer, come to give, take, or take knowledge. When looking at all the speakers at every conference, one can usually always say with all studies dovetailed together like a joint effort. When in fact the speakers never contact others about their subject that they're talking on, it never fails. They always work together. Tony Lopez focused on his entire study on Gnosko, to know God, with his study working into what the end times are going to be, or that in fact we are in the end times, which Dr. Mike also talked about. Dr. Mike used the sufferings of Job and Paul as examples of sufferings are temporal. One verse in 2 Corinthians 1:9, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. This is dovetailed with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. The witnesses of Job and Paul are also examples of their faith in God's faith, knowing that God will raise them in His time. Darren also spoke on gnosko as getting to know God and His will. Jason focused on knowledge and wisdom of Solomon. Solomon made his mistakes. God punished him for them. And Forrest presented a dispensational study that ended with the understanding of ultra-dispensationalism as being central with the body believers if they were looking for a title. The dispensational study by Forrest was amazing in that the aspects of what was classified into dispensations, from innocence to conscience to human government to promise, to law, to kingdom, to grace. In all this, we get wisdom of God's word dovetailed and glued into solid truth. I'm not getting sound from, let's see. Okay, I just turned my mic on. Sojourn, you should be able to hear me now. I'm sorry. So when witnessing to other people, whether individuals in the shop or casual conversation in other businesses, meetings throughout the country, county network, I'm constantly calling on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and witnessing and pulling even some right division into the topic, helping someone understand the title more than the milk, understanding a little more than the milk of God's word that they hear on a weekly basis in their traditional churches. With our knowledge of right division and understanding what books are written to us compared to traditional belief, we have a blessing beyond measure in the upon heavenlies at the appearing in Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This is just an amazing truth that I'm sure we all, if we had a headstone to plant it on, we want this on our headstone at our final earthly resting place. But we know that we're already dead. We're already considered as dead to God because our life is now hid with God in Christ, who is also here. So when he appears in the upon heavenlies, we will burst forth with him. When we get spiritual understanding in Colossians 1, 9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is the Holy Spirit that works within us. We don't have to go to a church to get filled with the Spirit. We're constantly filled with the Spirit. The Spirit is dwelling within us constantly. It's not one of those things that you go to church and all of a sudden you get tingles all over. I mean, which sometimes you can go to a concert and it feels good, but the Holy Spirit is with the body all times, 24/7, 365. And I know you guys know that. But this is our charge, if you will, to have a continual prayer for the body. In Mark 12, 28 through 32. Christ was talking to one of the scribes, and I want to stick these last two. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment," in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Well, master, with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more." I jumped a sentence. It says, "Well, master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." In 12:34, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said to him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question." So when Jesus said, "Thou art not far from God," said, but for he had but to follow out a little farther what he seemed sincerely to own to find his way into the kingdom, he needed only to express of another eminent scribe who at a later period, we know that the law is spiritual and I am carnal, but sold under sin, who exclaimed, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" But who added, "I thank God through Jesus Christ," in Romans 7:14, 24 and 25, perhaps among the great company of priests and the other Jewish ecclesiastics who were obedient to the faith almost immediately after the day of Pentecost, this upright layer was one. But for all his nearness to the kingdom of God, this scribe may have never entered it. In Luke 2, 42 through 46, concerning understanding in 47. In 42 it says, "When he was 12 years old," this is Christ, "and they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem." Mary and Joseph went off and forgot where the kid was at. But they went a day's journey, and when they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances, and they found him not, they turned back into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple. 3 days! You know, 3 days, here they are, they can't find Jesus. "Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding." Now, this is the Son of God. This is God himself. You know, he's going to have all the understanding that none of us will ever have. But our inkling of a little bit of understanding and truth and rightly division is in bounds, leaps and bounds more than your traditional Christians as of today. "And when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Whilst ye not I must be about my Father's business. And they still didn't understand what Christ was doing at this time. He was doing God's work in ministering to the elders of the community and teaching them the ways of the law. In 1 Corinthians 1:14-18, concerning understanding in 19. Yeah, 19. I say 14 through 18. I carried on. Okay. I thank God that I baptized none of you, talking about the Apostle Paul baptizing, because he didn't baptize hardly anybody, but Crispus and Gaius. Lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. So a Christ-filled understanding puts a person in a much more advantageous spot concerning God and his promises to mankind. In 20 through 24, it says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? And we know who the disputer of this world is. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Because in man's wisdom, it's hard to even come up with words. With man's wisdom, it's just nothing but corruption. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. In Ephesians 3, our books, 2 and 3, if we have, concerning understanding, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to God, which was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Spirit gave this understanding to the apostles and prophets and to us to understand that this mystery was hid aforetime. And the mystery of Christ was since that time. And the partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is the understanding that we get through right division and understanding what was before times of the earth falling away and after times. To understand the kingdom hope, which is throughout the book of Acts. The kingdom hope, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because Christ was the king He was there at the time. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:23-29, concerning understanding in 2:2, says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh, his body's sake, which is the church. Christ finished up the sufferings of Christ. Yes, Christ suffered pains that we can't even fathom on the cross. He suffered the sins of mankind, of all mankind, while he was on the cross. He suffered the beatings before, he suffered the passion before, which we can't even fathom. Christ suffered all that, but the Apostle Paul had to finish that up for us Gentiles. After that, it was Paul's job to finish up the sufferings that wasn't finished with Christ, because Paul had to have his own sufferings for the Gentiles. It's hard for me to put a measure on this, but Paul had to have sufferings for the Gentiles. Christ suffered for the world. Paul brought the Gentiles into the body. So he had to have his own sufferings in place of, or in addition to, what Christ had done. In 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. In 2:1, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That covers everybody else from Laodicea to us. That their hearts might be conformed, comforted, being knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Unto all the riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So to have the wisdom and knowledge, it comes with understanding. Let's just say that a coon dog knows that it can take a skunk out, but through understanding, it knows the consequence if it does. So through the understanding of what the coon dog knows, he's going to let that skunk keep on going. I come up with that. That's just a little example between the difference between understanding and knowledge. In 2 Timothy 2:3-6, and actually I'm going to go down to, I'm going to jump. Yeah. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And this is to Timothy and to the body members of Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Yeah, well, tell that to those of us that have dealt in politics, because we do get entangled with the affairs of this life. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man strive for masteries, he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Christ Jesus, or the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. Paul always found up he was in trouble for preaching Christ. Just like Christ always got in trouble for saying that he was the Son of God. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit. But to the subverting of the hearers, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is a charge that we all have as being students, teachers, which you guys are, and when we witness to other people and we express right division, we can bring understanding to people. I have probably four pastors that I cut their hair. And they ask me questions concerning scripture. And I express right division in my messages. And, one of them, he seemed very intrigued every time we talked, because he seeks my counsel. And I thank God for that, you know, to give me him, his pastor that's going to deliver this message to his congregation with some right division in it. In Ephesians 1:18, concerning understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This understanding is deep into knowing what our hope is in the upon heavenlies when Christ appears. We have the greatest hope ever given to mankind. And it's hard to, I don't know, it's hard to express the gratefulness that I have in that. I thank my God daily for it, and I'm sure you guys too. But this Greek form is 1217, DNAO. It's for the understanding, the imagination of the mind, to know God's word given us through the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us on our daily journey. The eyes of your understanding being light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his understanding in the saints. Ephesians 2:3, among whom we also, in our times past, our conversations, in the lust of our flesh, fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And by nature were children of wrath, these and those others. Paul is telling them how they were in times past as Gentiles. Because at that time, what was it, the goddess Diana was the biggest god in Ephesus. So he was expressing to them what their god, what their desires were up to this point. But now, having the understanding in 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. We look in Colossians 1:21, where he talks about, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. But through the understanding of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit leads us with, corrects us in this understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day, Lord, and for all that you give us, that those things we see and those we don't. Lord, especially, Lord, for those things that you're giving us insight in through our own studies and through the saints. And Lord, all the blessings that you give them, and Lord, we ask that you continue to be with them, search our heart for those that need healing or comfort. It's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.